Welcome back in four or five different senses. We're going to try something a little different and go a different way here. We're trying a new invention of the podcast and starting out trying some different stuff. I've been here for a while. I'm Kevin. And I got two other new folks with me from the board. If you remember, Mark Rose, HFX, and Lord Dunlow. Say hello, boys.
Hello, boys.
Hello.
All right. We're going to do quick introductions of ourselves, and then we're going to talk about what's going on in the Valiant universe and what things we like. We came up with a quick agenda. And remember, we have no clue what in the world we are doing. We are not experts at anything at all, especially not anything of any real acclaim. Mark, I'm going to throw it to you. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. My name is Mark. How are you this evening? I don't know what else should be included in the intro. I'm Mark Rose, HFX, on the Valiant Fans board and on Twitter and pretty much everywhere else you can find me on the internet.
That's similar to me, because I'm Lord Dunlow, like, everywhere. So, yeah.
There's his introduction. He's the
I have to mention, we're almost 100% Canadian-free, so that's a good thing for some people to know. We're reaching across and bringing people in here. Boys, I want to throw out to you, how did you get involved collecting Valiant comics first time around, and how'd you come back to it in the modern era? Throw it again to you, Mark. Go.
All right, so my Valiant story begins with a young Mark in high school working at a comic book store, which it actually started as a sports card store, like a lot of stores then, but then when comics really started booming, they became a both kind of thing. And so I was working there, and a friend of mine who was also working there was telling me about this book that had come out called Exo Manowar. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll try it, you know, because he was like, dude, this is a great book. So I did actually pick up the original Exo Manowar number one, and that's when I started and started getting a lot of the back issues, which really hadn't hit the high demand as Unity hadn't happened yet, thankfully, so I wasn't able to get them all, including Harbinger and stuff like that. But and then basically around 95-ish, I got out of it. The quality of the books was deteriorating, like basically on all sides, and I was in university, and, you know, that's not exactly a priority when you're in university, so that ended my first run on Valiant, and rediscovered it with VEI. It was actually, well, pretty much the same date that I joined the Valiant Fans board. I think that was June 1st. But anyway, it was that night. I was just hanging around on Twitter, and just something came across my feed that Exo Manowar was back. I was like, what? Valiant is back? So I just started Googling the crap out of everything and found Valiant Fans and discovered only the Valiant all on the same night. So that was kind of cool, and it's brought me back into a lot more comics as well.
How about you, Dunlow?
Okay, so my story, you know, the 90s part of it was very similar to probably what everybody else was. As I got into comics, you know, when the Image boom and everything, and I had a friend that gave me some Spawn comics, and I was like, oh, these are awesome, and so started reading some of that stuff, and then when I actually went to the comic book store, started, you know, really caring what, you know, the story was, and then I, you know, got in and of course bought a bunch of Image stuff, but then, you know, Valiant was already being hyped and stuff, and this was probably right after Unity, so Valiant was already, you know, in the Wizard magazine and everything, so.
Dunlow, I lost you. I lost you, Dunlow. Hold on.
That was great too. So, but yeah, whenever I what'd you say?
I lost you for a sec. Go back. Picking up. Maybe like 10 seconds. I need to make notes and edit this.
Count back in your head 10 seconds.
Exo was the first thing that I started reading. I liked it. It was a few And so, you know, I pretty much picked up the trade paperbacks that were out and read through the first few issues and stuff. But Solar was the one I really got stuck with the most. And I even had a dog named Solar and loved everything about it and everything. So, and then Harbinger was, of course, a favorite of mine. But the Harbinger, like, first issues, and, like, I guess not the first issues because I read the trade paperbacks, but the you know, the issues after the trade paper were hard to get because they were still expensive books, and so I never finished that till recently, catching up on that. And then with the 90s, you know, that when it started to crash was right when I was actually getting into high school and, you know, getting interested in other things. So I dropped most of the comics, you know, in high school and stuff, and right towards the end of high school. And so I ended up just pretty much dropping all the comics, and then you know, other than Sandman and stuff that Neil Gaiman wrote, didn't really fool with comics, period, until I moved down here to Memphis, and in the process of moving, you know, moved the comic boxes downstairs, out of you know, where it had been in the attic for 6 years or 10 years or however long, and I started going through them, and I was like, oh, hey, I remember these, and these are cool. And that's when I got on and found ValiantFans.com and started. That was back in 2010. And, you know, just started talking to some people there. I thought it was a cool place. Was completely floored there were that many people that were still interested in Valiant. Bought a ton of Valiant back issues and got all, like, almost completed the collection. Of the VH1 stuff, and then my son was born a couple months after that. I joined in June, and he was born in October, so once he was born, I pretty much just stopped completely doing anything other than being busy, and I was busy with my job, too, because I've started a new job here.
That you love.
Whenever I had... am I still here?
Yeah, oh yeah, that you love. You love your job, is what I was saying.
Yeah, no. I was, you know, finding an app on my phone that had, like, news feeds on it called Pulse, and just started finding feeds that I wanted to get, and saw that Comic Vine was one of them, so put that on there. And this was probably in March of 2012, and I started looking at the little news things that were on there. It was like, Exo-Man War's coming back. I was like, what? And so I went back on the Valiant fan boards. I was like, so they're coming back? And everyone's like, yeah, and it's coming out then. And it's like, you know, it was just a few months until it was actually coming out. So I went to the comic book store that day, and or maybe a day or two later, and was like, okay, I need to make sure I get some Exo-Man War added to a pull list and everything. So, and that started this total explosion back in a comic, probably when I ever was. Definitely have many more comics I'm reading now than I ever did in the 90s, and I'm loving it.
Awesome. Well, I will throw my minor quick stupid fest of mine. Similar stories, probably a little bit earlier. I'm the old man of the group. Mine was in 1986, and I was one of the so-called Marvel zombies. Pretty much reading a lot of junk then. I think I read maybe 4 comics put out by anything else, and one of them was Aliens, but, you know, picking up stuff, they had a pack of Unity as a whole, and I took that home, and it was pretty much cover price, and I loved everything except Magnus Robot Fighter, and added the whole slot to the pull list, and I'm remembering, 16 months later, because the last one I picked up, I think, was Archer and Armstrong 17, stopped college and poor and everything else, and I was only home, you know, twice a year, summer and, well, Christmas, Thanksgiving, and that was it. So I just canceled it all. But then probably around 2000, when I got a permanent job, had a little more disposable income, started filling in the old holes, completed those Valiant runs, actually ran across the last issue of Exo Manowar and the last issue of Bloodshot for a quarter apiece, and I was like, yeah, take those home with me. And they were the only ones I was missing at the time. But then started paying way too much I'm sure, for castaways of folks on the boards, and I really thought people on the boards were a bunch of total freaks who were buying old comic books and getting weird people to sign on them, all the board projects and everything, and I thought, this is really crazy. And probably around 2010, when the Dark Key stuff was coming back, and new stuff was being made, and there was something to complain about, I jumped back in, too late there, but, you know, made a pull list just in time for the pretty much the line to be canceled, which was right around the time VEI came out, and I've been crazy person ever since, so, it's been fun. So, we have a little agenda to talk about, things we want to go over, and it's nothing too specific. We're going to keep it nice and vague, but we sort of decided we're going to talk about general things of the comics, and I'm going to throw it out to you guys first. And the way Dunlow put this, and I thought is a great way to put it, is the Eternal Warrior controversy. Starting up a new arc, and it's been a little divisive on the board. And I think I'm going to throw it to you first, Dunlow. See what your opinion is on Eternal Warrior, both on the first arc and the changeover with issue 5, because we finished up the first one, and we're starting again in a new line. So let's get your take first on Eternal Warrior. Go, man, go.
Okay. I've really enjoyed Eternal Warrior, which surprised me because I didn't like the original incarnation as much as the other characters in the Valiant universe. So I really liked it, other than his appearance in the Archer Armstrong, that weird sort of tone that he had. I've really enjoyed Eternal Warrior, even in the later issues, not number 5 of Archer Armstrong, but the later ones after that were pretty good with him. And then when he came into his own series, I've really enjoyed it. And I think a lot of it's because I like the fantasy stories, and I like sci-fi too, but I tend to lean a little bit towards liking the fantasy stuff a little bit more. I think they're really trying to cater to that sort of, before, you know, Dino's mentioned the reason they picked the initial stuff was to try to have a good spread of different genres hit, and I think fantasy was something they were really missing. And so this Eternal Warrior with all the houses and stuff being introduced really fleshes out sort of a legendary, sort of fantastical part of the universe, because, you know, characters like Armstrong, they just, you know, they seem weird. You know, they're living forever, and he's super powerful, and then Galad doesn't seem to age, but then he does seem to age, and then, you know, he's all around with all these gods of the earth and all this sort of stuff. So, you know, I like it, and I actually like, you know, there's been a lot of criticism about, you know, not enough being explained, but I actually like that not everything's explained. It's sort of like, oh, what the heck is going on here, and everything. I think that the character of Zarin is really cool, and it's something that in the original Eternal Warrior was sort of missing, and because I know he had children, but which I didn't read all. I haven't read all of the old Eternal Warrior stuff, but I know he had children that, you know, were almost always evil and stuff. But I don't think they were immortal. Were they?
No, they were not.
No, I didn't think so. And so I think it's a neat idea that he has children that can then be immortal, that can then sort of, you know, he can have that parent-child relationship with for, you know, centuries. So I'm guessing, you know, if she stays around with 4001 timeline, that'll be really cool. So the first arc I really liked. I thought it was really well thought out. The first issue, I agree, was there was too much decompression. There wasn't much to it at all. It was just over and done with without introducing much. But once you read the second, the third, and fourth issues, I think it really came together, and it was really exciting way to start the Eternal Warrior. I don't like about then with issue 5 being the 4001 is now we have all these questions that don't get answered, and now we're going to start with another thing that's going to be a little bit mysterious and everything. So I would have liked to get a little bit more of that first arc, but I'm guessing they're going to start weaving them in and out, which will be fun. And I like actually that they're sort of tackling two timelines with him. And then issue 5 was just awesome because the possibilities of that future timeline, and with it being dystopian, it just seems awesome. So those are my thoughts.
All right, Mark, let's throw it back to you then. What do you think about the new Eternal Warrior?
I'm pretty much right on the same page with Dunlow. I think it's really too early to say criticize unanswered questions and stuff when it's the first chapter of the arc. I think we will know and understand a lot more about the 4001 timeline by the end of the arc, or at least I would assume so. Maybe not every answer, but sometimes that's part of the fun, is still having questions.
Yeah, I want to address the divisiveness and throw a couple quick things out there, and let's see how you guys respond. The thing I was most impressed with the reinvention or the repadding of the Eternal Warrior was, first, we had a chapter that existed, I guess, right around the time of the Exo starting up, but from there was a split, and something I guess I never even really wondered before, but was so beautifully done in the Unity arc with the two Eternal Warriors, where I read the first arc and I thought, this is a brilliant way to, number one, separate him in the present day in the Unity book as Gilead, and then also set up the transition or connection to that future timeline with the future Eternal Warrior. So there's no conflict there. And, I mean, let's face it, he's a beautiful replacement, if not, you know, exact replica or anything. It's certainly, you know, nothing worried there about for what Magnus could have been or might have been had he been still a part of this. Throw it out to you first, Mark. What do you think?
Yeah, that's an excellent way of putting it, as kind of a replacement for Magnus, sort of, in that future. I mean, whether or not there's another character that kind of fills that void as well, I guess we'll see. And we still have, of course, Rai upcoming, and we'll see how that all fits in there as well. But I really like the possibilities of this whole thing, and I like the way you put it there, too, how they really have it separated from the current guild that's involved with Unity.
Yeah, I like that they've done that. It works really well. I think it's a good way to do it.
Okay. Any more you guys want to put out about Eternal War? Like, and the divisiveness that we sort of brushed through, a lot of people on the board are really negative on the incarnation, but I'm with Dunlow, I'm with you, Mark. I love this setup that's sort of like moving in parallel to it, but a separation. And something that we haven't really talked about yet is the connection with Exo with Eric in the modern day timeline. That wasn't really brushed with anybody. I actually sent Venditti a message on Twitter, and I thought, you know, that was a brilliant comic, that quick brush where they destroyed that. And there was, again, a lot of criticism there for the Eternal Warrior Gilead there. What'd you guys think of that?
So you're talking about the one in Exo?
Right. I think it was the beginning.
Yeah, I actually liked the Gilead that was in Exo. He seemed true to the character, so I didn't have any problems with that.
What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, right with you on that. I really liked the way he interacted with Eric in the badass fight as well.
Yeah, I thought it was reserved and controlled, a little contrived more certainly, but beautifully put. Any more Eternal Warrior stuff from you guys?
I think we covered my thoughts pretty much.
Yeah, I think you covered a lot of my thoughts as well, so I think we're all in.
All right.
Yeah, we all agree.
Let's move on to the new starting arc now in Bloodshot. Some serious changes over the last couple of arcs, and I don't want to rehash everything that's happened with Hardcore Edition and all that stuff, but a lot of changes in this comic, and not necessarily in the characters or story, but a lot of specific things have happened. And Mark, in our pre-chat yesterday, we talked about a few of them. Why don't you throw out some of the criticisms, concerns, things that you liked about the new Bloodshot start of the arc? Go, man, go.
Well, one thing that I really, really enjoyed about the start of that arc was the art. I absolutely love Emanuele Lupacino's art. Now, as far as the start of the current arc, sorry, Bart Sears, but I really don't want to see you do any more interiors. I enjoyed his covers, but I really was not a fan of the interior art of that first issue of the new arc.
I'm actually the opposite with the art. I love Emmanuel Lovaccino's art in Archer and Armstrong. That was great. I hate the way she draws Bloodshot. It just doesn't look like Bloodshot to me. And I actually liked the Zier stuff, so...
Oh, a little controversy. I, as well, not a fan of Bart Sears here. And maybe it's because it's drawing me so much to the late XO stuff. I kept feeling that pull of those stories back through again. Something else I wanted to throw out, and my reread, this stuck out at me and wanted to smack me in the head. The overhanded or heavy-handed narration here, especially that really stuck out to me, was... We're the Specialists, codename Cold War, psionic manipulation of cold and heat. It sort of broke me out of that frame for a little while, and I had to jump back in the story again. Throwing it to you, Dunlow, first. Criticism likes of the storytelling aspect of it, not just the art this time around.
It's been Bloodshot and hardcore, and even with the... especially with this new arc, it's a different book. You know, if you say it's a completely different book, like it'd just been the hardcore, I would probably love this sort of... It's sort of really a throwback to the 90s or even earlier, sort of into the, you know, classic Marvel stuff sort of thing that they did with the announcing like that. And you know, that stuff's fun, and I actually enjoy Bloodshot and the hardcore now, but I think I mentioned on the forums, too... I liked the old Bloodshot better, and so I really would like to have this book too, but then have Bloodshot the way it was. So I'm hoping at some point that can happen, because yeah, this is fun, but it's not something that I put at the top of my list of the Valiant stuff, whereas the original Bloodshot actually was probably at my top, fighting with Harbinger every week, or every month.
How about you, Mark? What do you think of this new set?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Dunlow on that. In one respect, though, I'm still thoroughly enjoying the book, and I really love the way that they're doing hardcore in this incarnation. I like the limitations of the implants, like how it really messes them up and that sort of thing. And I'm really digging that. But I do hope that it does separate at one point. Maybe this was just a gateway to get hardcore in there and introduce it, possibly make it its own separate entity.
I'm going to throw a little bit of the throwback to hardcore here, and this may be throwing on a couple of people. I did not hate the original hardcore. Up until, I would say, the last four issues, maybe more like the last eight or ten, I thought it was a pretty good book. You know, the print run is gymungous, so you can get pretty much the whole run for $6 or something. But I love how that connection exists there. And this time around, I love the development of these characters. And even a couple of quick quips with the writing and dialogue. You know, walking in on, you know, the two inexperienced encountering each other. And that quick offline, realizing what the heck was going on. And the wide eyes. That tiny bit of humor in there really threw the direction differently. And I like that.
Yeah, I do. I like that. It is fun.
Mark, any more on this?
Well, I like the original hardcore for probably about maybe the first 10 issues or so. But another thing I really like about this one, I really, really dig Palmer. And I like the way that they're developing him as a character. He's one of my favorite things in that book right now.
Oh, definitely. He's the best part of the hardcore, for sure.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's something to really pick along with. And it's a... Again, this is one of the books that I feel like... XO and Harbinger are, you know, close clip and steady moving the whole time around, where I feel like Bloodshot and Shadow Man have almost had to reinvent themselves on a multi-arc basis, like going back to square one and starting over again. But... with Bloodshot, I think I've enjoyed that trip, and Shadow Man's been more difficult on the whole. Not that I've disliked it or anything, but it's just been harder. Am I talking too stupid or deep?
No, I agree.
Okay. All right. Let's throw we've got Eternal Warrior and Bloodshot there. I'm going to throw out, and I didn't necessarily have this on the agenda, but Mark and I talked a little last night about the end of the sect Civil War. And I have to say, Archer and Armstrong was my favorite old VEI book, and I loved that first, 10, 12 issues, and then by issue 17, I felt like I wanted to throw up reading the thing. But I love that first set of issues, the first eight more, especially that Zero issue. It's one of my all-time favorite comic books. But I was sort of lukewarm on Archer and Armstrong leading up to this. And really that the lost land slash world, I just did not get that. But this sect Civil War, I thought, as a whole, was a brilliant arc. Beginning, middle, and end. Lovely. And I didn't get all of it, the intricate nature of it, but I felt like this had the flavor of that original run. It felt like I was reading that old comic. It had the heart behind it, the soul behind it, and when I got to the end of this, I thought, you did it. You made it. It set its own pace, but it's got all of that original set of that Archer and Armstrong behind it. I'm going to throw it to you first, Mark, and sort of reiterate some of the stuff we talked about last night or some of the other stuff that you thought of since then.
Yeah, I honestly have to say I've actually been loving it even more than you have, Kevin, because I've been pretty much a fan of the whole thing, even the Far, Far Away arc. And number five was probably my least favorite issue of the group, for the obvious reasons with Gilad and the characterization. But I've been a big fan of this book. This most recent arc, The Sect Civil War, just absolutely loved it. I love the way everything kind of tied together. Archer, some of the scenes with Archer, absolutely hilarious. Like, Justice Fuel, that absolutely ruled. And another thing I really, really enjoyed, too, that really slayed me when I read it, I can't even remember what issue it was, but at one point, Mary Maria is called Mary Maria Conchita Alonso Archer. I hope that is her actual name, because that is amazing.
Yeah, I really like Fred Van Lente's writing. It's fun. I actually, with Archer and Armstrong, I was really lukewarm the first, three or four issues, and I think actually even after the Green Dragon Llamas came out with the Hitler mustaches, I was like, okay, this is just too ridiculous. I can't believe I'm reading this. It was number three. And then number four came out, and it was the best VEI issue to that day. And I really liked it. And then five came out, and it was not very good. So then I was really iffy on this. But then pretty much as the arc with the Eternal Warrior progressed, I really started to dig it. And with Kay McHenry and everything, and really liked what they were doing there. And then when the Far, Far Away arc came in, that was just great. And so it's been a slow build for me for Archer and Armstrong, but I love it now. It's definitely up at the top of my list now of the Valiant books.
It's stranger to me, I think, that it started out, and I think, Dunlow, you alluded to this, and Mark, not as much, but for me, both of us were sort of lukewarm on it at the beginning. Not that it was bad, but just that it had so much more behind it that it could have been. And I felt like this has been a slow burn for me, just to keep building and developing and growing. Almost like he knew where he was going with it the whole time and tried a few things out on the side. And some of the stuff I still don't get or really like the Hitler-mustached guys and even a little bit of the blockheads still eludes me, but I'm liking this transition more. And I thought the...
Yeah, they're a little silly, but I guess I've gotten used to the...
I'm sorry, I lost you again. Gotten used to the what again, Dunlow?
What is it?
I'm sorry, I lost you again. You've gotten used to the what?
Oh yeah, I think I've gotten used to the Fred Van Lente sort of style of humor now, and actually upon rereading the Nazi Llamas didn't throw me as much, because now I think I've just gotten used to his brand of silliness.
I thought the burritos line in the last issue was brilliant.
Yes.
And don't forget, Happy Meals, the name is misleading.
God. All right, let's throw out, I'm skipping along a little bit, let's throw out the Harbinger start, and this isn't necessarily the new arc, because they're sort of saying now, like, what, the next three issues are an arc, this sort of says Resistance 1, I don't know exactly where we're going here, but especially alluding to what's happening at the end, I don't want to go there too much, but bringing Axe into the story and taking this direction, gentlemen, what do you think of Dysart's Harbinger going from here? Let's go to Dunlow first this time. What do you think?
I'm enjoying it, and I sort of I lost a little interest in the last arc. It wasn't really. I mean, it was still good. It was great. I mean, better than a lot of stuff I read. But it wasn't the level I think that Harbinger was at. And now this one issue, at least, it seems like it's getting back to where it was. Even though there weren't any of the actual, you know, renegades in it. So hopefully, once they get back into it, it'll really be a really good story. So I'm looking forward to it.
How about you, Mark?
Harbinger is basically, I would say, probably my favorite book that's hitting the shelves every month. I absolutely freaking love this book. Even the Perfect Day art that I know threw out a lot of people, loved that. Just the whole suspense of it all, and the way that tied up, and ran it with Torque, I just loved it. And then this new issue with Axe. Axe is one of those characters that I thought was really underused in the original Valiant. I thought that character had potential, and they just kind of squandered it and turned it into a joke. And I love the way Dysart's handling it so far.
I think this is consistently the greatest book coming out. I think I would say also I haven't enjoyed it as much as the Renegades arc, which was fantastic. The Perfect Day was, again, a little let down, and we won't rub any salt into those wounds or anything, but it's, I think it's getting stronger again, coming back around to itself. I mean, my money is, you know, still on Harbinger on a monthly basis. To be, you know, not as great as it was, still mean it means it's pretty dang fantastic. And that's been...
Oh, definitely.
A pleasure
one
each
thing
month.
I'd like to say about Harbinger is that I hope Leighton Henry sticks on it for a little while. It'd be nice to see really consistently good art on that book for a while. And the same person, not saying that the art's never been great, but there's been a lot of change up on the art. I'd love to see Leighton Henry stick with that for a little while.
Definitely agree.
Let me throw a weird question out. This is something that just sort of popped in my head. I did not like Cary Evans on the first issue of Harbinger, and I grew to, not appreciate it, that's not the right way, but deal with it, I guess, is maybe the best way to put it. And I love Cary Evans on Archer and Armstrong. I think it's a perfect fit. Really a great throwback there. And Clay Henry coming onto Harbinger feels like it fits better with that book. It was almost like we needed to do a little shuffle to get to the right places. Agree?
Oh, I totally agree.
I got my agreement here, too. I enjoy Cary Evans' art way more on Archer and Armstrong than Avenger.
Okay. All right. Because I remember when that first issue came out, the biggest criticism of it was the art. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, in particular with the faces, some of the androgynous faces, that sort of thing.
Right. But connected with Archer and Armstrong, it feels like Barry Windsor-Smith again.
Yeah, which is funny, because I think Barry Windsor-Smith had similar criticisms from some people.
Right, and I think that's why it fits so brilliantly on Archer and Armstrong. Huh. Wild epiphanies here, you know, after Dunlow. I'm drinking a Bell's Cherry Stout today. I'll put that in later for you.
Yeah,
we need a Kevin Bastos beer update every podcast.
That's right.
Not a problem.
Yeah, I've tried multiple beers. I just can't get into it. They just don't taste good.
I kid you not, I did not start drinking beer until I was 36, 37 years old.
I started drinking
16. I'm not saying I didn't have a beer before 36, but I didn't enjoy it, I didn't like it, and then I learned if you spend a little bit of money on a beer, and again, I don't drink to excess. I had a wild evening one night where I had two beers and drove home and was pulled over by a police officer. And it was one of those things where I'm so crazy about it, I've timed myself. I'm like, okay, I'm going to be out for 2 hours so I can have exactly two beers. And he, you know, went through the whole thing with me, and it was hysterical to see that I'd gone through, and literally up until 2 years ago, I'd never been pulled over. And it was the first occasion, and it was one of my rare occasions that I go out to a place and drink a beer. So, stupidity. But I'll get you there sometime, Dunlow. When I get down to see a Grizzlies game sometime.
Sounds good. Come on down.
I will. My initial plan is Disney World this spring, so my wife and I are married 20 years this spring, so.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Neither one of us dead yet, so that's great.
Yeah, congrats, man, that she hasn't killed you yet.
Thank you. I'm pretty lucky. Pretty lucky guy that she has not yet killed me. I'm going to brush by Unity and Exo. I think we'll hold on those until next month when that arc finishes up. And even Shadow Man. But I want to talk about another strange controversy in the Valiant. And we'll go to this and talk it out a little bit. And the controversy is Quantum and Woody. And little things that I've thrown out. Neither one of you guys have read any of the Priest stuff beforehand, right?
That's correct.
Correct on me as well.
All right. Now, let me again encourage you this time publicly for recording. Read that stuff. It's great. I mean, it was... And my favorite comic on there is Quantum and Woody, and it is absolutely ingrained in those 17/22/23 issues and a little bit of something else. Heartily encourage you to read that. Anyway... Let's talk Quantum and Woody.
I'd like to see those in a Valiant Masters hardcover.
Hey, now. One day I will get myself up to New York and go sit down and see if I can find my way through any of those old and or missing issues. I'd be a happy boy. let's see. But let me talk the Quantum and Woody stuff. It's getting... a ton of press, recently nominated for the Stanley, what is it? What's the award called? You guys remember that?
Excelsior Award.
Out of eight comics.
Excelsior True Believers.
Yeah, eight comics, and one of them is this book. And to go and talk to any, you know, Valiant fans, board member, this would
it's
be...
It's volume one that got nominated, by the way.
Right, but even that... Even that is still not most people's favorites, and even people at that time were saying, it's my least favorite, it's the one I look forward to least of the month. It's got all of this attention, and I want to find out, gentlemen, what is your opinion of the book? What's good about it? What's bad about it? Why is it success or failure? Mark, I'm starting with you this time.
Hey, fair enough. Now, I don't get why people weren't really digging the first arc. I actually thought the first arc was quite enjoyable. Really, really liked myself. I didn't mind the first issue that much, besides the arc. Not really digging Ming Doyle. I know Dunlow's going to have more to say on that, so I'm going to leave that part for him. But I think that in terms of this book, in terms of the storytelling, I'm finding these last... couple of issues that the humor itself has kind of gone more lowest common denominator, and I think that's why it's kind of got more mass appeal. To me, it's like some of these comedy movies that come out and are very popular, and I personally don't get why, and I think that's what's happening with Quantum and Woody. That's just my opinion. I have no idea if that's correct.
Well, no, we're looking for opinions here. We want to know what you think. Dunlow, what's your thought?
That's what I think.
Oh, that's great. Perfect.
Oh, I don't have any opinions, of course. So Quantum and Woody, I wasn't really too excited about it when they announced it, because I didn't read the old Quantum and Woody. I know everybody said it was great and everything, but I never read it. I was interested.
You don't read the old stuff?
Well, I do read the old stuff. I'm not like SWTOR, is it 1062?
Or? Is it 1097, I think?
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, and so I'm not like him, so I do read the old stuff, but I never read the Acclaim stuff, so I didn't read the Quantum Woody stuff. So I was interested in finding out about this goat with powers and stuff and everything, so... But it, I got a phone ringing here. There we go, sorry. I definitely picked it up and trying to support Valiant and everything. The first issue I actually enjoyed a lot. And from that point, it really just didn't seem like it just went anywhere. Each issue just seemed to be sort of the same jokes over and over. I did enjoy the art for the first one, and the story was okay. But if this had been anything other than Valiant, I probably would have said, I don't really like this too much. But then the next arc came out, and not only was the writing actually a little worse, I think, and it got a little bit more cliched, everything just seems to be, like, I know every joke that's going to come probably a page before it.
That's another way I wanted to say it, too. Cliched, not just lowest common denominator.
Yeah. And so, it's like every, you know... It's like the joke that every bar comedian, you know, tells at every club that, you know, where it's just bar flies everywhere. It's those sort of jokes. And it's really been disappointing. But then the art is just atrocious. And it really does make... I actually have a physical response to it. I just don't feel right. It's like queasiness from this art.
What did you say about the cars again on the board?
Everybody says they look like potatoes.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's not good stuff.
No, I think what they really should do is go after Kevin McGuire. I would love to see great. Kevin McGuire on that book. That would be amazing.
You know, I think this has so much potential to it, and I have to say I'm thrilled that they announced, perhaps at the right time, that they were bringing Priest back for that short arc, it's my favorite arc, favorite comic by far. Throughout, it's just so strong, and I just finished up reading the first 17 issues on the Acclaim line. And they're so witty and brilliant and different and smart and with heart and has a wonderful humor to it. And this is so lowbrow, so unsophisticated, so stupid. And I'm a little happier now. I guess this seventh issue is much better than the sixth one was, which I thought was garbage. The sixth one was painful to read through. At least in this one, I felt like I was smiling a little bit on a couple of occasions. There was one joke, a couple jokes in here I thought they were pretty funny. The Battlestar Galactica comment I thought was hysterical. You know, it's 2014, Battlestar Galactica's way over. But the art is so bad. It is painfully bad. The one, I'm trying to think the bar ahead of it. Let me find that page that looks so terrible. Oh, meanwhile, in a secret laboratory, because we have to act like a superhero comic once in a while. I don't even know if that's a face I'm looking at there in some of these. It's so ugly. And, I mean, if I was an art teacher, I would give this a C+. I mean, I'm sort of recognizing them as people, but it's so scrawled and juvenile and unplanned. I mean, there's something to be reckoned with the, unsophisticated art style, the stylistic commentary to it. But if you look back on issue 6, there's a page where Eric and that revealed to be homosexual soldier he's running with, and they're running, and there's a shot from the back, and it looks like they're sort of being split in front the way they're running. It's so terrible. I thought that was wretched, and I think if this book can survive through this arc, it may survive. But this arc, especially the second set, 5 through 8, what a grave mistake. I don't get it.
So we're all big fans of that.
I will continue buying it. I will continue reading it, and I'm hopeful that we'll get back to the feeling of the last one. I guess my major concern with Quantum and Woody is a lot of the taste is there of the first run, but it just doesn't have the flavor and richness of the first one, and it hurts me. It hurts me. And I'm ecstatic to see that Dino's got a hold of Priest, being out of the industry, and I mean, I love Priest. When I read that Quantum and Woody stuff initially, time around, I went out and bought everything that he'd done. I bought the whole run of Black Panther. I bought the junk that he did in the interim. I bought all of his run on Power Man and Iron Fist and read through that. I mean, I just hungered for everything that he'd done, and I wanted to feed it into me. It was that good. And I don't know why he didn't have more success as a writer, but hating Quantum and Woody, apparently. That's our take, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right. Yeah, right with you.
Only buying it to support Valiant.
Yes, and again, when this arc's over, I hope we'll be back to a stronger one. I liked the first arc. I didn't, and again, Dunlow, you're not as much a fan as me, obviously. I hope when that Priest comes out, even if you've dropped it up to that point, you'll pick that up again. But do try to find copies of those first 17 issues the first time around. They are worth it. They are worth it.
So, as an homage, I want to say the second arc, the Quantum of Woody, it's up.
Very nice. Juvenile and wonderful. All right. What then, gentlemen, is your book of the month? I'm going to put out to you guys favorite book of the month and least favorite book of the month. Let's go favorites first, and I'll start with you, Mark. What's your favorite? I'm sorry? One more time?
Harbinger. That's pretty much my standard answer.
Harbinger is your favorite. All right. And Dunlow, your favorite?
It's a toss-up because this month was so great. I think Unity edges out and to be the top one for me.
Okay, all right. Mine is Archer and Armstrong 17, and I'm a little surprised at myself for saying that. But it was my favorite of the month. And least favorite, let's hear from you first, Dunlow.
Quantum and Woody, by far.
Okay, Mark, let's hear your least favorite.
Quantum Woody.
All right, I will join the brigade and say Quantum and Woody is my least favorite, but it was not far followed by, almost hurting you to say this here, not far followed by Bloodshot. It was not in my favorites of the month. So.
Yeah, it hurt me that Bloodshot was the next up on the list, and it was pretty far down, because this last issue is just... I think if it hadn't been what it was before, I don't think I would have such low feeling about it, but where it was compared to where it is now just hurts.
All right. Mark, anything else you did not like this month?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
That pretty much covers it. I also didn't really like the Bloodshot cover, but I think we already talked about that.
All right, Len, anything else before we wrap this bad boy out and try to get it published by the end of the week? Help me?
I think that's it.
Marvelous.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they covers it.
All right, well...
There was no blood spill.
No, that was good. That was good. We'll try then to do another one in a month, and we'll see what happens. But thanks for joining in this experimental craziness of a podcast, and hope you have a wonderful week. I'll let Mark you sign off, and Dunlow you sign off.
I totally forgot to do my swearing game, and I'll start it next time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, swearing game. Yeah.
I was just so busy trying not to swear.
Good. I like that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay, we'll do that next time. Dunlow, about you?
Okay.
He's gonna go watch My Little Pony.
You what?
Isn't that right there, Twilight Sparkle?
I am not a brony.
Friendship is magic.
It is. Yeah. Oh boy. Gentlemen, another magical evening with you, and I hope I'll sign this off tonight. Thanks for sticking around and following our insanity, and hope to see you next time. We're 51 minutes, boys. Not so bad. Okay, have a good evening.